The end of Parshas Behar, we have different laws concerning an individual who becomes an Eved, who becomes a slave. Person who stole can't repay back what he stole. And he's sold into slavery. And there are different halachas, different aspects concerning his slavery. We've spoken about some of them in the past, how the owner has to treat him. And this person was redeemed in the Jubilee year. And the Chumash gives us the reason for all the sensitivity that we need to have for the slave and why he can't be a slave forever. This key pasuk is really a description of our lives, and it's really one of the most fundamental pasukim in all of Chumash. For the children of Israel are servants to me, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadaihem, they are my servants who have taken out of the land of Egypt, I am Hashem your God. And the question the Mefarshim asks, which is an obvious question, is why is there kfilut lashon? Why is there a double language? First you have ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, because to me the Jewish people are servants. And then it says avadaihem, they are my servants. Is that not repeating itself? To which the Urachaim HaKadosh answers the following. He says in Source 2, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim mi karam. Intrinsically, the Jewish people are holy. Even if Hashem had not taken us out of Egypt, we are holy to Hashem. However, from our perspective, what makes us indebted to Hashem to become His servants is the fact that He took us out of Egypt. And therefore, we owe Him to become His servants. Kosh Baruch Hu took us out, the least we can do, and He took us out in order to serve Him. These are two different aspects of what the whole idea of Avdus is about. We say this in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Davening. Im Kavanim, Im Kavadim. There's a relationship between us and Hashem. It's a relationship of an Eved, literally of a servant. And the Urachaim HaKadosh, based on this pasuk, is teaching us that the two different aspects of Avdus, of this slavery. There's one that defines us intrinsically, we are connected to Hashem, and there's another which is more extrinsic. Because we were slaves in Egypt, now we owe Hashem kivyachol. We now have to be servants for Him because He took us out. It is these two dimensions of slavery, and we'll see how they intersect, that I'd like to hear Hashem speak about today, the indebted aspect and the intrinsic aspect. On both levels, we'd like to try to understand. Gemara tells us, we're coming up to Shavuot soon, the Klal Yisrael says, Chumash tells us, Naseh v'nishma, we were ready to do. And yet the Gemara tells us, on Vayitzvu b'tachti sahara, that they stood at the bottom of the mountain, Kafalim har kigigis, Hashem hung the mountain over their head. Either you accept it, otherwise I'm going to kill you on the spot. What's going on here? Is it not enough that the Jewish people said we're willing to do? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to, so to speak, coerce us into accepting the Torah? And finally, perhaps most importantly, well, what is our mindset? When we come to do Torah and mitzvot, how should we look at it? Should I look at it like, oh my, if I don't do it, you know, lightning bolts is going to come from heaven? Or should I do it because I want to do it, and because it's enjoyable for me to do it? What should our mindset be as avadim of to Hashem, that we're servants to Hashem? How should I relate to every time I do a mitzvah? These are the issues that we're to deal with, which is very, very practical. Of preparing ourselves. We ended off last week that Tzviras HaOmer, Ksav HaKabbalah, V'Amarta, L'Tamer means to be Meshubah, to be enslaved to Hashem. What exactly is this all about? I'd like to take a look at this on two levels. The first level is based, we'll begin with Emek HaParsha, Rav Zachariah from Vnei Brak, and he notes that there are really three types of slavery in this world. The first is Avodah Gufanit, Source 3, Avdut muvana adam hanimkar la'acher u'mishtabed lo. Alav u'shamsho li'shama la'anchayotav l'tzivoyav ha'shonim. First type of slavery, probably the most classic, you know, if you play word association. Person is slave to somebody else's will and desires. We have the Civil War, right, when the blacks were slaves to the South, the North. This is the classic, the Jews in Egypt, right? Individually as well as collectively, you have this idea of very difficult work, of hard slavery. It's interesting that in all three of these categories that we will mention, a person, albeit that they are a slave, can sink to such a level that they don't even realize that they're a slave, and they become quite comfortable where they're at. And this is even true of this aspect of slavery. The mayor, Yitzhak Meir of Gur, the Rabbi Chorsky, From Bondage to Freedom, Haggadah, points out, when it speaks about that Kadosh Baruch Hu will take us out in Sivlos Mitzrayim, which literally means from the burden of Egypt, Sivlos also means tolerance. I will extract them from their tolerance of Egypt. Source 5, during the many years of enslavement, the Israelites have become so accustomed to their status that they consider it to be the normal state of affairs. Not only have they resigned themselves to being slaves, but also come to believe that this was their natural state. Much like the proverbial worm who infests the horseradish and undoubtedly considers this, the bitterest of all vegetables, to be the best place in the world. And one of the jobs that Moshe Rabbeinu had was to convince the people, no, this is not the ideal situation. And that's one type of slavery, albeit it's not a slavery that most of us encounter, but it exists. Slavery number 2 and 3 is something that, whether we admit to it or not, is something far more common. Type 2 of slavery, source 7, Havodah Shliyah Havodah Ruchani, is more of the spiritual or the Kniyah Gashmit Lo Shibud HaGuf Yeshkan El Shibud HaSecha. We're not talking about the enslavement of the physical body, but rather of the mind, i.e., that a person's thoughts, person, the way a person looks at things, is very much affected by the hashkafa, the viewpoint of people around them. We call this social pressure. We call this, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. And this, too, is a certain type of slavery. Hadama mechaker chaveiro, matik et fuso chayav, umishachpel tachbibav umanigav, a person who copies whatever else is doing. You know, everyone gets his latest, so I need to have the latest. That's also a type of slavery. And again, collectively in 8, you see this by Yavon. When the Jews were in the domain of the Greeks, it's called Galus Yavon, the exile of the Greek exiles, the third of the four exiles. We were in the land of Israel. What type of exile was it? It was a spiritual type of exile, wherein many Jews became Mijavnim. They started thinking like the Greeks. They went to the gymnasiums. They did the sports, etc. And they became totally acclimated and into the culture and the mindset of the Greeks. That's the extreme. But we have to realize that within our own lives that you can keep a frum lifestyle and yet be very much affected by what others think. Where one sees this very blatantly is in the world of shidduchim, just to give an example. Rabbi Fran notes, why are the yeshivas 9 he attended, the seminary she attended, considered a primary factor in people's mind? There are great boys and wonderful girls graduating from all institutions. I understand it's difficult to find that information. We must often rely on limited resources, one of which is reputation that yeshivas and seminaries have developed. But when it seems that a shidduch prospect attended a less favorable institution, in parentheses, in the eyes of the prospective in-laws, should we try to find out why or he or she went there? And this is the key. Few people take the time to ask such questions. Why? Because we have become obsessed with designer labels, whether on clothes, eyeglasses, shoes, or son-in-laws. And this, my friends, is a big challenge that we have, that we're so influenced by. Well, what would people say if I would take a shidduch of a boy or girl who went to, oh my, right? It would lessen my standing in the in my circle of friends. That's not how we make decisions on who is best for our particular child. What are the schools that are best for our particular child to go to? We have to be able not to be so, again, enslaved, it's a good word, to the mores and the mindset of the people around us, and be able to think for ourselves and understand Chanach l'nar pi darko, what this child needs, what this person needs in a shirach is unique to who they are. The final type of enslavement is something also we're very familiar with in 10, and that is Havodat HaShlishit Hi HaAvdus HaAtzmit. It's another type of being enslaved. In this case, a person is an Eved LeAtzmo. He's enslaved to himself. Better yet, when this now leads Ralph, he's enslaved to his inclination, to his desires, to whatever he wants to do. And in the world around us, we think that to be free is the greatest level. And you know what freedom means? Freedom means that nobody tells me what to do. Nobody tells me how to do it. And this way, I am living happily ever after. As Rav Reif springs down in his Sforim, Pinchas says, well, no one would get into a car if it didn't have brakes working. We can't live in a society without structure, without you are not allowed. So often we feel like, you know, I want to just do anything or everything. And this too, as Rabbi Twersky notes, many people have adjusted in 11 to a lifestyle which they feel comfortable and have never given a thought that perhaps an alternate lifestyle might be preferable. Some people are enslaved to their own passions, to standards of living set by their neighbors, to prevailing cultural values, or to addictions to food, alcohol, or other chemicals. Some people may live an entire lifetime in this state of servitude, failing to exercise the right to independent thinking, or to extricate themselves from harmful habits that are ruinous to both body and soul. And we know that spirituality does not come easily. Cows in the pasture undoubtedly have greater contentment than an intelligent being who struggles to achieve mastery over oneself and growing character. But are we willing to relegate ourselves to a state of divine contentment when we're capable of achieving divine spirituality? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. So, my friends, to a real degree, when we talk about that people are slaves and our immediate reaction is, oh, no, that was, 200 years ago, it's not today, or that's in the far corners of the world, it's not in our lives. You know, we're free, democratic people. Whoa, hold your horses a little bit. Are we slaves? The answer is, slaves to what? Perhaps we're not slaves to a master who's beating us, granted, but we are perhaps slaves, influenced, and very much controlled by, which is what slavery is about, lack of freedom, by what other people think, what other people say, what other people will say or will think, and ultimately enslaved to our desires that I must have, I must do, I must eat, I must. And that too is a type of enslavement. The pasuk here tells us, this is the arrow in source 10, the bottom right, Kavanata pasuk letzamsem avadai heim velo b'nei chorim lechalutim. My friends, we are slaves. We are slaves of a whole different level. Our slavery is to lafoch et adam l'ben chorim. Our slavery is in order to make us free. We are b'shibud zu tmuna hacherut hagdula. Being enslaved to Torah mitzvos gives us the greatest freedom. It allows us not to be influenced by, I need to, I want to, but have a different barometer. And that barometer is what is Ritzon Hashem. And that is the greatest freedom possible. Hinchem avadim v'lo ba'alei chayrut l'lo adon. Yesh lachem asecha chayim ha'mashabedet etchem l'bara yisbarach. Ach ma'arechem, however, zuhi ha'goremet lachem l'italot l'yo b'nei chorim amitim. This type of enslavement, i.e., avadayim, that we're enslaved to Hashem, albeit seems so restrictive, but in reality is the one that grants us the most freedom, because it allows us not to be controlled by self, but something outside of ourselves. And to give the classic example, if a person's on a diet, they want to look good to get in, for a dress for a wedding, and a friend offers them a piece of amazing chocolate cherry cheesecake. I don't know if chocolate and cherry go together, but look, it's the yard does. So they take a look at it, and they really are on a diet. They're not supposed to have this chocolate cherry cheesecake. But it looks so good. So what do they say to the friend? Just a little bit. Not a lot. Just a tiny slice. Right? Why? Because we are enslaved to self, and that chocolate cherry cheesecake looks really good. Take the same scenario, but you've just had a fleishich meal, and you go over to your friend for tea on Shabbat. They hold 3 hours waiting between meat and milk, and you hold 6 hours. You're looking at that chocolate cherry cheesecake, and you're saying, wow, it looks amazing. God said no. God said I need to wait 3 more hours, and I'm ready to wait. So in this respect, I am indeed free, because I'm not using myself as a barometer, which is very hard to control. It's something outside of myself. That is what concerns me. And I ask myself, not what is my neighbor going to think, but what is Ratzon Hashem? What is the best for this child? What is the best for this situation? What does Hashem, what is Das Torah? And that's why it's important to ask Das Torah, right? You ask a Rav, a mentor, is this the best child for my school? Is this the best program for my school? That's what is the barometer here, not what is, well, everyone's going to think, and I'm high, I come up. And this, my friends, is now how we can go back and understand the pasuk. When it talks about Avadahem Asher Otzeiti Otam Eretz Yitzrayim in 14, that you are my servants who I've taken out of Egypt, we understand not only that I'm indebted to Hashem for taking me out of Egypt, it's much deeper than that, as we've spoken about, that the fact that Hashem put us into Egypt, that is what enables me to be the servant of Hashem. Hashem could have given us the Torah without it putting us into slavery. Why does he put us into slavery? So explains Rav Aaron, Mishnah's Rav Aaron in 15. Hinei shibud Mitzrayim hayachana lekabalas haTorah. The servitude itself was a preparation for getting the Torah. And he notes here, v'chach al yidei masher hirgalu atzmam levitur al yinei olam hazeh. The fact that you were slaves and you couldn't eat whatever you want or do whatever you want. L'midat ha'istapkut, and be able to be satisfied with the little. V'zeh l'inyan avadayim asher otzeiti she'misugolim la'gil l'malos avadayim rak mechaman asher otzeiti tam eretz Yisrael pashut. We can only become the servants of Hashem. Avadayim, what enables us to become the servants of Hashem? Because he took us out of Egypt, because he put us in Egypt. And as far as I'm saying, if you take a look at the Pshat, obviously there's different opinions, but according to the Pshat, Yitro comes before, Vayishma Yitro, Mashmo Shema Vaba, he heard, again, different opinions in the Medrash, Kriyas Yam Suf and Amalek, and he came. But he leaves, according to Pshat, before Mount Har Sinai. Why? Because if he wasn't in Egypt, he wasn't able to accept the Torah. Part and parcel, prerequisite of accepting the Torah, Sham Bitzula Tayesha Atzmi. They were able to break that ego of theirs. Sham Vitrul in Yaneu Mina. They were able to break the desire for all the pleasantries of this world. There they realized, what's important? This is what I need to do. On this level, my friend, what does it mean that we're indebted to Hashem? It means that the whole experience that Hashem put us through in Egypt was an experience to train us what it means to be a servant. And a servant is ready to listen to his master no matter what. That experience, whether the master decides today one thing and tomorrow another thing, it doesn't matter. I am listening to the master no matter what. The experience of Egypt was the experience that enabled us to be able to learn the language and the mindset of what it means to be a good servant, what it means to be completely dedicated to one's master. And that is the law of the Chabemes, Rav Dov Yafeh quotes the Beis Halevi in 16. That explains, yes, Klai Yisrael san nasa v'nishma, but that was only on the mitzvot that they knew about. What about the mitzvot shistavu latid in the future? You can't be mekabel something that's not yet here. That was kafalem harkigigis, that Hashem imposed upon them that you need to accept the Torah like an avet. Elohim kiblu atzmam liot avadim l'kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what it means Hashem forced upon them the mountain. Yes, they accepted the Torah. What Torah? That which they had in front of them. What is he forcing upon them? That whatever I tell you in the future, you shouldn't say, well, I didn't accept that on me. That's not part of the deal. No. Being a servant means that whatever comes across, today I give you straw, tomorrow I don't give you straw, whatever it may be, right? Straw that broke the camel's back, that's it. I am ready, and I need to, and I have to listen to Hashem no matter what. Indeed, as the Sifti Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander's Atzal notes in 17, when we take a look at mitzvos, mitzvos have to be looked upon as le'ol al tzavareihem. They were given to us as a yoke. Kiyama mitzvos lo nitznu la'ana pratit. I don't do mitzvos because I enjoy them. Ah, it gives me such pleasure. That's not why I do a mitzvah. Ela la'ol al tzavareihem. I do it because this is commanded on me. Klumer shekiu mitzvos yaseh mitoch ol shel avdus. And my mindset has to be, is I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice whether I want to do this or not. God commanded me to do this. Kemosha samim ol abema, like you put a yoke on an animal that just limits where he's able to go. That has to be our understanding. I don't have a choice whether I want to daven in the morning. God says I have to daven. And I have to daven by a certain time. And I have to, you know, do certain things, prerequisites to prepare myself for davening, and in davening to think certain things. Sorry, my friend, this is an oath. This is a burden. And we know, ha'eno mitzuva v'osta, the end of 18, one who does not command it and does it have his free will, does not get as a greater as reward. Because he has this lackadaisical attitude. Well, if I'm not in the mood, I don't need to do it. You know, like, you know, women, for example. Oh, I can sit in the sukkah. I don't have to sit in the sukkah. It's not the same pressure of, I don't care. No matter what, I have to sit in that sukkah, unless, you know, the whatever consideration. That being forced, that pressure to do, is enormous. And that has to be our mindset when we talk about kiyum mitzvos. Indeed, as the Sichus Musa brings down, 22, a human being finds it very difficult to be mechuyav. People don't like to be forced to be obligated to do or to be prohibited from doing something. So much so that he will at all costs break the bonds restraining him, even if it means risking his life. And this is the classic case of Shimi ben Gera, who on his deathbed, he was the one who cursed David HaMelech when he was fleeing, right, when his son rebelled, Avshalom. So David Melech said to Shlomo on his deathbed, make sure you deal with him with wisdom. So Shlomo Melech calls Shimei in, and he says to him, I want you to build for yourself a house in Yerushalayim, and I want you to live there. The minute you leave Yerushalayim, you are Chayav Mita. Not only did Shlomo administer a solemn warning to Shimei, but in addition reinforced it with a stern vow. What was his intent? Where does Shlomo's legendary wisdom manifest itself? There are many old men who have lived all their lives in Jerusalem not finding any imperative to leave. Certainly, Shimei, who had solemnly sworn to remain there and knew he'd be killed if he left, would not leave. And how indeed is it that for the loss of a mere two servants, Shimei would forfeit his life? The answer is that certainly it is possible to live in Jerusalem. The Mesos Kalaris, the joy of the entire earth, without ever leaving. However, on the day that a person is forced to stay, Jerusalem becomes for him an unbearable prison. His efforts to free himself from his jail will know no bounds. This is what Shlomo perceived in his profound wisdom, and this was a trap that ensnared Shimei. It's hard, right? You see this with children. You tell them, if you want to, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. Then they're ready to do it. You have to go. I don't want to go, right? We know people don't like to be told what to do. And that's our challenge in Asiyas HaMitzvos. Hashem tells us clearly, this isn't an option. Torah and mitzvos are something you have to do. You are enslaved to me. It's called Kabbalat Omahud Shamayim, the acceptance of the yoke of heaven on you. It's a yoke, my friend. This is something you have to do. And obviously, Lefum Sara Agra, the more effort you expend in it, the more Yirah Shamayim you put in it, the more reward you get. And this is why a person who's very careful about this aspect and that aspect and making sure they'll do it correctly is going to get more rewarded. But this obviously is very bothersome to us. Lo'or Zo 21a, Navin Heite, Maduah Kar Shbarchu Yitilin Mitzvos Gold Tavarenu. Ki Gamze Mechaseh Shemit Baruch Umigold Al Tavash Metivimanu. So you may say, well, I thought Hashem was nice and someone wanted to benefit us, giving us this, oh, you have to do this, is this a benefit? And the answer is yes. Because when we do a mitzvah, and we invest in this mitzvah, and it's difficult for us because we're mukhrach. I have to do this, and I'm doing this because I have no option in doing this, and I feel that pressure to the extent that I'm cognizant of that, and to the extent that I'm living into that mindset, to that extent, it's a greater my reward. So yes, this is the chesed of Hashem. Hashem wants to give us the greatest reward possible. And the more I understand that I'm doing this not because it feels good, but because this is what Hashem demands of me, and that I realize that I am an Eved Hashem, I am a servant to Hashem, and this is my job, this is my role. This is what it's all about in life. To the more that I accept this, the higher is my reward. Ah, but you may ask yourself, which Reclaim Fillinger does, hold on, I understand this is true, but we also know that if a mitzvah isn't done besimcha, with joy, terrible punishments happen. So hold on a second. You're telling me I have to do this mitzvah. You're telling me that it has to be a yoke on my head. You're telling me that it has to be something that I feel like a burden when I do it. On the other hand, you're telling me I should enjoy doing it. Well, how do you reconcile this? To which he responds in 24. Ach ba'emes ein tu stirakla. Reality, it's not a contradiction. Ben hargashat ol ha'avdus u'me'idach ha'simcha b'kiyum ha'mitzvos. Between feeling the sense of pressure, I'm a servant, and on the other hand, feeling a joy in doing the mitzvos. V'kacha b'yor. This is how we can understand it. Hasiba l'kiyum ha'mitzvot eino mishum sheish li hana'a b'kiyum ha'mitzvot o shekach noach lishakayimim. When I do a mitzvah, my mindset in doing a mitzvah isn't because, oh, I really enjoy this mitzvah. Oh, I get so much pleasure. You may, and we'll talk about that. But that's not why I'm doing it, right? Because, and obviously, there are certain mitzvahs you don't feel pleasure. So if the only thing that was motivating you to do mitzvahs was pleasure, so then you'd be picking and choosing which mitzvahs bring you pleasure and which don't. And then there would be a very limited amount of mitzvahs that perhaps you will do. So my mindset in doing a mitzvah, Hasibah hamiviyah l'kiyum hamitzvot hi, when I come to a mitzvah, whether I enjoy it or I don't enjoy it, what my mindset has to be is, la'ol nitnu al tzavarenu. Why am I doing this mitzvah? I'll tell you why. I'm doing this because Hashem commanded me to do this. Period. Mitoch hakarat ol avdus, Hashem yisbarach shikivyocho machricha otanu l'kayim et ha-mitzvot. It's as if, not as if, it is, that Hashem is forcing me to do this mitzvah. That is why I'm saying a bracha, that's why I'm inviting guests, that's why I'm visiting the sick, whatever it is, whatever mitzvah it is, I'm doing this because Hashem has commanded me to do this. Here's the key. Ach ofen asiyas ha-mitzvah. The mindset before doing the mitzvah, I'm doing this because Hashem commanded me. Now that I'm actually doing the mitzvah, the tota'at ha-mitzvah, and as a result of doing this, yes, simcha b'kiyum mitzvos. Wow. I have the opportunity to do this mitzvah. Amazing. I'm doing this because Hashem commanded me. But now, now that I'm doing it, I have joy that I have the ability to serve the king. I have joy that I'm doing what Hashem has commanded me. I have the merit to be a servant of Hashem. And to the extent that I realize that I'm obligated to do this, and this is what Hashem demands of me, to that extent is my reward. We therefore find all avdus a mitzvah mezake otanu ba'osher gadol, shalomos ruchanim voim. That feeling of I have to do this opens up tremendous reward. And if my attitude is only, oh my gosh, I have to do this, and God wants this from me, oh my gosh, and He wants that from me, then I don't understand correctly what it means to serve Hashem. And what it means to take on the yoke of heaven, to be able, we'll talk more about this on the second level, to be able to serve Hashem is a great tzchus, it's a great merit. Mindset has to be, this is the way Hashem commanded me. So on this first level, it's not that I have an option to do or not to do. Hashem has created this program, putting me in Egypt in order to learn what it means to listen to somebody else, in order what it means not to be a servant to public opinion and to one's yetzer, even though we still fall into that trap, but however, to work on being able to be a servant to Hashem, to be able to realize that my one and only goal in life is what does Hashem want from me at any moment, and I am ready to do that with Mesiras Nefesh, with the totality of self, as difficult as that may be. And I'm doing this because Hashem commanded me to do this. Now, once I'm doing it, I have the joy of being able to be that servant listening to the Master. I have that joy of being able to be somebody who's doing the will of the one who's commanded me. And it's interesting, Reb Chaim Fiedler ends this particular essay by saying that one of the means that will help a person in this mindset, quoting Reb Yisrael Salanter, Oreitza, aside from learning Musar, Mosif, Achein Hatava Ba'ochrato, Yargil Hadam et Atzmo, Belimud Haposkim, Ubagil Ladin Hashayach Lo Yomo Mimikoro, V'yamik Heitev Lofi Kocho Tvunato. V'davar Zeh said, Kinyan Benafsha L'shomra Komad Yoter Misponenus Hayira. Aside from just having this feeling of Yiras Hashem, Omad, I have to do whatever Hashem commanded me, I have to do it the way Hashem commanded me, I have to make sure I'm doing it right. That's an important aspect. You have to have Yiras Hashem. One of the ways to create this mindset in a healthy way is to learn about the mitzvah. When I know what the exact halachas are of the mitzvah, so I'm more conscious to do it correctly. And it's not a fear, but it's wanting to serve the king in the best way. So I know that the best time to daven is, and I know the best mindset in davening is, and I know what I should be thinking about in davening because I've learned it. And when I learn the mitzvah, I want to do it to the best way possible. I want to be able to serve the king in the way the king wants to be served. And that has to be our mindset. You know, halacha is something unfortunate, and we've spoken about this in the past, where a person, if they've been fortunate to grow up in a yeshiva system, particularly as girls, you'll learn it in high school and seminary, right? Perhaps a little bit later, you'll learn halacha. And then, you know what? You go, so to speak, an automatic pilot from that experience your whole life. And that's very dangerous. Because, A, we're very limited when we learn at that time. We're not as focused as when you're actually in a kitchen and you have the onion and the board in front of you, and now what? And you have the chullen on the fire, and you know you can't stir it, and what do you do? These are like halacha l'maaseh. That's why, as women, it's an imperative that we pick up, and now there's so many sfarim in Hebrew and in English, and we learn every day a little bit of halacha. We learn with a friend, we learn by ourselves, we learn with a group of women, and oh, you'll say, well, my gosh, there's so much halacha to learn. Granted, there is so much halacha to learn, but Rome wasn't built in a day. So you start at Hilchos Brachos, you start at Hilchos Shabbos, you start with halachas that we meet all the time, and you'll say, my, there's so much out there. I didn't know that. Now be so much more careful, too. And now be aware of that awareness, that being careful, that's part of being that Eved Hashem. That's part of being that awe of, I want to serve the king in the best way possible. And I know I have to be careful with this consideration and that consideration, and I know when I cut grapes on Shabbos, I should cut it right over the fruit salad and not on a board because it's creating, you know, great the liquid from the grapes, and I'll be so much more careful now. That is an awareness that I am serving the king, and I'm learning what is the best way to serve the king. That's the end of the pasuk. Avadayim, these are my servants who I've taken out of Egypt. The other side of the coin is that we don't serve Hashem only because that we are indebted to Him. There's a whole different picture here. And to be able to introduce this whole different picture, I'd like to take a look at a yesod, a fundamental principle that Rav Pinkus brings. And he talks about in an essay, beginning in 25, the idea of being an Eved and being a Ben Chori, being a slave and being free. And he asks, what does it mean? Mahu Chayrut, 26, what does it mean to be free? So imagine a person who's in prison, lo aleinu. He can, you know, walk around prison and eat, etc. Is he free? No. He's confined to a certain place. He can't leave. Well, now let's take a chicken in a chicken coop. Is he free? Well, if the chicken's mine, he's walking around, he feels particularly free. But a person in the chicken coop, he will feel all cooped up, right? He may be chicken to say it, but he'll want to get out of there. Hashem created a world. Ba'ofen shikifo, 27, he misof ha'olam v'atzofo. Hashem created a vast world. And part of human nature is to be able to be everywhere in this world. You take a kid, he said, who barely is able to sit, and you know, he constantly has to move. He could put him in a car or in front of one of these machines, and he could sit there for hours. Why? It's constant movement. Things are constantly changing. People need to know what's going on in the world at all times. People need to have this feeling of vastness. People need to feel that to a certain degree, they're able to have a certain shlita, control, or knowledge of everywhere in this world. avdus, slavery, he says, is that when a person isn't comfortable in the place that he's in, when a person isn't able, like in jail, to move around, or a person is confined, let's say, I remember being in a hospital once for a week, I felt like a jailbird, like, you know, I literally said, I got freed from prison. Suddenly you're able to look out, fresh air. These experiences, when you're confined and you don't have access to the entire world, for whatever reason, to the IV or the jail bars, you feel like you're to a certain degree, like in the first level, you're enslaved. You may not be enslaved to a person or to a society, but to a certain degree, you are confined. When you don't feel comfortable in where you are at, you're confined in what you're able to access, there's a certain sense of limitation and slavery there. When one feels that wherever I am is comfortable for me, that's a feeling of freedom. And here's the key nekuda of Rav Pinkus, and he says, listen to this line in 28. HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer l'adam, ata ba'avdut shlomi, you're in my service. Klomar, mutar lecha lasot rak ma shekatuv b'Torah. And that means you can only do what's written in the Torah. But zeh ben harim, why? Ki adam mitivo chai ba'olamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world that Hashem gave us intrinsically, inherently, is the world of God. Zeh ha'olam hayafeh biyoter sheyachol liyot, is the most beautiful world possible. Whatever Hashem has told us to do, that is what is best for us. That is what our neshama knows is comfortable for us. In our mind, we think, well, if I'm not allowed to do this, and I'm not allowed to do that, and I'm not allowed to eat this, and I'm not allowed to say that, then I'm constricted, and I'm restricted, and I'm really slave. No, no, no. That's really not your world. That's really what you're not comfortable in. If we would change our mindset and understand that the world that Hashem has given us and the rules and routines that Hashem has presented us with are the most natural and beautiful world that any person could imagine, instead of looking at Torah mitzvot as restrictive, we would look at it with expansiveness of, wow, how much opportunities are open for me to do what I really want to do. There is a certain freedom in being restricted. Let's try to take this a little bit deeper, my friends, and try to understand this. That Shraga, Rav Shraga Grossberg, and speaking about the second level, says, when you talk about the first level, that we're slaves because we owe it to Hashem and He put us in and took us out. So our slavery is very much connected to when we have a master over us. And if a person would run away from their master, so in their mind, they're no longer slaves. They're only slaves when that master is over them, or if that master has done something for them. On this first level, or now the second level, the first part of the pasuk, because we are avodim to Hashem, intrinsically, as the Orachaim HaKadosh says, mi'abetet, mi'kedusha sarechem, from moment go, that is a whole different relationship. Ulam lufia sibash Yisrael mi'karam kedoshim heim, b'shorish nafshotam, when you say that intrinsically we are holy to Hashem, nimsa she'ish avdel gadol ben evet shel adon leben avdut shel bnei Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a whole different relationship to Hashem, that no matter where we are, no matter what Hashem does, we are connected to Him. Avol shonei avdut shel bnei Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 31, heim avadim lo rak b'avoda ma'asit shelahem, it's not only that we are slaves in terms of specific work, the entirety of our being is a servant to Hashem. We are connected to Hashem from moment go. And that's why, even if such a person would, God forbid, no longer bepoel, in actuality, serve Hashem, and not be shomer Torah mitzvos, they are still an eved Hashem, because the essence of who they are is a servant of Hashem. On the first level, my friends, it's about Hashem commanded me to do, I have to do. But on this level, a person can be porek ol machlut shemayim. He can throw off the yoke of heaven and say, I don't want to be enslaved to Hashem. I don't want this whole relationship. And in his mind, he thinks he can get away with it. On the second level, there is even no such thought. A Jew is a Jew is a Jew, no matter what. And this relationship of a Jew to a Kadosh Baruch Hu is so deep that it enters into the depth of the consciousness of a Jew. And one can never take away that intrinsic relationship between God and his people. You know, again, Rabbi Spiro in the latest book, Touched by a Spirit, speaks about a short maisa of a certain fellow, his name was Boris, who was in Siberia, who was Jewish, knew nothing about being Jewish, knew he was Jewish, where one day they were switching camps. This Boris's group, he was the only Jew in his group, was going to another camp, and that other camp was going to come to Boris's camp, for whatever reason. And they were going to, both camps were going to meet in the middle, and then the next day for one day's walk, then switch, and each one go in the opposite direction. So that night that they met in this barn together, strict orders. They were not allowed to talk to the other group of prisoners. They were just sharing the same barn. And a fellow touches Boris on the shoulder and says to him from the other group, are you Jewish? And Boris says, yes. He says, there's a fellow in our group who's also the only Jew. His name is Anatoly. He recognized you as a Jew. He wants to come speak to you. Boris is petrified because he knows that Sasha, the guard, is out there. And if he comes in and sees him talking to another person, boy, is he finished. But at that point, Anatoly, this other Jew, comes over to Boris and says to him, do you know what tonight is? And Boris looks at him like, no. He says, tonight's Yom Kippur. And Boris is like, oh, I've heard of that vaguely, like, you know, somewhere in the recesses of my mind. And Anatoly said, my father was a chassid, and I used to harmonize with him. On Kol Nidre. And he began singing the Kol Nidre chant, which is, you know, very haunting and very deep. And the inmates started singing along with him, and even Boris remembered the tune from somewhere. And they start singing Kol Nidre, right? Kol Nidre, Vesare, etc. And suddenly, Boris looks up, and he sees Sasha standing over him, and he goes, oh my. And Sasha, it's like with tears in his eyes, he says to Boris, I hope you can forgive me. You know, he says, it's been 40 years, and I have forgotten that I'm Jewish. But when I heard this song, it was this chant that I can't get out of my mind, and I remember it. I'm sorry for mistreating you. Your fellow brethren asked me, ask you a favor. Can I join the two of you and sing Kol Nidre together? That's the essence of a Jew in the middle of Siberia, 40 years forgotten that they're a Jew. We're always connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Datraga continues, and he says, there is a major difference. L'amdenu kevdel 32 ben Yisrael la'amin. There's a major difference between us and the nation. Umos ha'olam shovdim l'psalim shalahem, hadat shalahem mitzdavstenet b'puchan shalshdim pam b'shavua u'pam b'chodesh v'dayam. Many religions only require service once a week, once a month, maybe once a day. Hadat shalahem, their religion is very mitzdavstenet, requires very little. And during the rest of the time, you could do whatever you want. It doesn't demand that much from a person. But we have merited to be separate from them. It's not only that we have a different religion, it's a whole different gestalt. The Torah demands of us, he Torah's chayim. Varehi 32, the asterisk, is deep within us. HaTorah nogeh l'chol prat u'prat mechayim. It deals with every aspect of our lives, not only spiritual aspects, but physical aspects, eating, drinking. And that explains a very strange, Ruth is coming up, the story of Ruth, of conversion. Very strange halacha by conversion, he says. You have that you have to teach a convert difficult halachas and easy halachas. So you almost scratch your head and you say, easy halachos and difficult halachos. I understand you want to teach a potential convert difficult laws. So, you know, if you're able to do these difficult laws, then you're ready to commit to Judaism. What about the easy laws? Exact opposite. In many religions, doing those difficult laws, wow, you know, religion wants for me that one time sitting in the sukkah or blowing the shofar. I can handle that. But the easy mitzvahs of getting up in the morning and washing your hands, the easy mitzvah of giving tzedakah, the easy mitzvahs that come across you day in, day out, they are sometimes the harder mitzvahs. Because it is, every aspect of your life is regulated by Hashem. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to have that intrinsic relationship, which a ger, a convert, embraces? That's the question that's being asked here. To do the difficult things, yeah, people are ready to do that. You know, people like to show for their God, they're ready to. But what about how you think? What about how you eat? What about how you sleep? What about every aspect of your life that you're conscious of this? What about that understanding that you're a friend of God, that you're an Eved Hashem at all times, so that when you're lounging back and you're about to say a blessing, you say, you know what, this isn't a nice position to talk to God, and you sit up. Yeah, it's a little bit uncomfortable, you know. You're ready to do that? You're ready to give up those? Ah, then you're ready to have this intrinsic relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that is what our relationship with Hashem is about. And now I can appreciate and understand. As Rav Asher Weiss points out, what does it mean? Hashem, we're ready to do whatever you asked. And the answer is the following. When Bnei Israel said Nasa the Nishma, their vow of Nasa of Nishma was not sufficient proof of their firm commitment to serve Hashem, 34, until the end of time, regardless of any difficulties that might arise. They just witnessed awesome miracles performed on their behalf, in which the entire fabric of nature was torn asunder. They saw their enemies punished with terrific plagues. They passed through the Yam Suf on dry land, so their enemies drowned therein. They were fed miraculous bread from heaven, which descended before their doors each morning under such circumstances. Why should they not commit themselves to Hashem's service? Yet Hashem wanted, 35, to ensure that the commitment would remain firm in the difficult times to come. Times in which His loving providence would be hidden from their view and hardships would abound. He wanted them to understand that Kabbalah Satorah was more than a voluntary service of love, which they could choose to observe and they would feel Hashem's love and then renounce and they felt uninspired. Kabbalah Satorah is indeed a service of love, but it's a holy obligation which is incumbent upon us at all times and all situations. That's avadayim, avadim. We are servants to us. This is the idea, Kili B'nai Yisrael avadim. We are servants intrinsically to Hashem. Good times, bad times. When it makes sense, when it doesn't make sense. When it's easy, when it's hard. That is what Hashem expects of us. Kafalem har kigigis, Hashem wanted to ensure that this is what we're ready to take upon ourselves. My friends, let's see what we've seen until now, and let's really take it home, and then we'll bring it to the level of the practical. Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim avadahim. Avadahim, the second phrase, means that because Hashem put us in Egypt and took us out of Egypt, we are indebted to Him. And He trained us in order to be able to serve Him, and my attitude toward Asiyas HaMitzvos is I'm a slave. And whatever mitzvah Hashem gives me, I have to do. My mindset in doing a mitzvah is that God commanded me. I have to have joy in the service of God, but realize I'm doing this because this is the will of God. Otherwise, I'll have a pick and choose Judaism and do whatever I feel like. And I have to realize that this is my mindset. Right? You're in the army now. You have no option. The second aspect is Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. We are servants intrinsic to our being. This is a Jew. 40 years, you may not remember you're Jewish, but that Kol Nidre chant, that realization you're a Jew is going to resurface because all of us are connected to Hashem and we have to understand that. And our relationship to Hashem is that of connection. So it's not that I'm agreeing to it only when things are good. When you are connected to somebody, and it's for all aspects, good, bad, indifferent. In all aspects, you have that commitment to Hashem. How do we look at Asiyas HaMitzvos in this intrinsic way? That I am connected to Hashem, whether He put me in Egypt, didn't put me in Egypt. Just being created a Jew, I have this obligation to serve Him. There's a great piece of Ramatzitzel Salem Shlita in With Hearts Full of Faith. And he says, I've seen this piece many years ago, in an Indian of Shavuos, he says, when you see the Jewish people who say Nasa v'nishma, you know, God, we're ready to do, we won't ask any questions, you almost say, you know, aren't they being a little bit foolish? What does this mean, that for the sake, 37, of Torah, we should be prepared to endure hardships and deprivations, that we should be willing to sacrifice our freedom? We look around us and see Gentiles and non-observant Jews living as they please. Yet we must abide by restriction. We cannot do whatever we choose. We cannot eat wherever we please. How can we not feel a little bit of jealousy? And he says, let's consider for a moment. God created people with the ability to experience the wonderful feeling called pleasure. If so, it is inconceivable he would seek to deprive us of pleasure. If he loved us enough to give us the Torah, would he condemn us to a life devoid of pleasure? But here, the squiggly line in 37 is a key. There are really two levels of pleasure. There are the low pleasures that appeal purely to a person's physical side, the sheer bodily pleasures, and then there are the higher pleasures that appeal to a person's intellect, spirit, artistic sensibility, sense of honor and dignity. I suppose certain pleasure to be derived from slouching jeans on the beach, smoking cigarettes, and drinking beer. What if a person were given a chance to meet the President of the United States? Obviously, this was written many years ago when the President of the United States was, I'll leave that parenthesis out. Would he gladly toss away the beer and cigarettes, put on a suit and a clean shirt, and even don a tie for the privilege of meeting one of the most powerful people on earth? On the day of his visit to the President, would he feel deprived of his ordinary pleasure? Would he feel restricted, or would he feel the thrill of a much higher pleasure, such he had never experienced before? These two sets of pleasures do not live easily together. Usually, the more one experiences a higher pleasure, the less one wallows in the lower pleasure, and vice versa. And he gives us a great example, the guards at Buckingham Palace. So, the mothers and the people who are of these people, you know, you say, oh my gosh, poor kid. He has to wear that hot red suit in this boiling heat guarding the king's palace. Don't you feel bad for him? And the answer is no. This is one of the greatest honors to be able to guard the queen's palace. It's not looked like as a nebuch. It's looked at as the greatest opportunity. How do we teach our children singers? Oh my gosh, you have to wear all these clothes in the hot summer. Or wow, you're a bat melech, you're a princess. You have the ability of a higher pleasure to be able to dress like a queen dresses. You ever see a queen dressed in short sleeves and shorts? I mean, please, my friends. And that's the idea of 39. But accepting the Torah, the Jewish people would become royalty. They would rise above the common folk of the world by virtue of their close relationship with the King of Kings, the Master of the Universe. They would enjoy the Seder every moment of every day. They would live in the palace of the king, so to speak. And so, of course, their pleasure would be a higher sort. We are all of us, princes and princesses. We all bear the mark of royalty. Hashem has honored us by giving us the Holy Torah. Every mitzvah we do, every word of Torah we study binds us closer to it, elevates us to even higher states of holiness and purity. These are the highest of the high pleasures. No other pleasure on earth can even begin to compare with them. But we can only experience this pleasure if we recognize the divine privilege we enjoy, if we appreciate the incredible honor Hashem has bestowed upon us, if we are delighted we make the blessing of who chose us among the nations, Asher Bach Rabbani Mikol Amin, V'nasa lanu et haTorah, and gave us the Torah. If, however, we do not recognize the Torah for what it is, if we do not value our privileged relationship with God, if we do not view ourselves as His royal group, then we will certainly feel burdened and restricted. But the tragedy would be far greater than the loss of some physical low pleasures. The tragedy would be that we were given such a priceless gift and out of ignorance and folly did not cherish it properly. The tragedy would be that he had certainly in our grasp and he let it slip away. The opportunities lost would be the greatest of tragedies. My friends, this is how we have to look at being an Eved Hashem. When I look at doing a mitzvah, yes, I'm obligated to do it. But wow, I have the opportunity to serve Hashem through this mitzvah. I am a prince serving princess serving the king. That is the greatest of all pleasures. So often we hear people saying, oh, it's so restrictive to be a Jew. It is not restrictive to be a Jew. It's restrictive not to be someone who's Shomer Torah mitzvah. Because then you are are enslaved to self. The greatest freedom is when you have the ability to not eat that cake because Hashem commanded me not to. Not to say that, not to do that. To realize that the way I wear, what I wear, what I say, what I do, and how I do it is the schus, is the privilege of being the guard at the palace of the king. Wow. Ashreinu matov chokeinu, how fortunate we are. And the law of the Chabad MS in 41 points out that just like we have mitzvahs to remind us of the Yetziat Mitzrayim, of leaving Egypt, we have mitzvahs that remind us of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. And one of those classic mitzvahs, aside from tefillin and tzitzis, is mezuzah. As the Rambam points out, that every time we walk in and out of a room, we should remember why we're here. Remember not to get caught up in the, you know, the Yeor Mishnato, wake up from the vanities of this world and realize that, hey, we're here for a purpose. We're here to be the princes and princesses to serve Hashem. It's very interesting, Rav Brazil, Mishvili Nivra Olam, speaks about the idea that we have a Minhag Yisrael to kiss the mezuzah when we walk into a room. And he quotes here the idea of the Maharal, that the hands are the highest part of self. They're even higher than the head. We can reach our hands above the head. When I reach my hand, it's like the highest part of self. And I touch the mezuzah. On the one hand, I recognize the mezuzah, Yichud Hashem, the Shema's in there. It's Kabbalah Olmachut Shemai. It's taking on the yoke of kingdom. It reminds me that I'm here to be a servant of Hashem. I walk into this room, I walk out of this room, wherever I'm going, B'shivtecha v'itecha, letecha v'derech, I'm doing what Hashem commanded me. At the same time, when I touch that mezuzah, he said, I look at the sirtut, I look at the lines that are imprinted in my hand. And it reminds me, Seret Shtar, the contract that I have with Hashem, same letters, that I am a servant of Hashem. Hashem has chosen me to be a servant. He's created me as a Jew, or I've embraced this reality. And then when I go kiss my hand, it's such a powerful mindset that I, as an individual, am able to serve Hashem. I take that yoke of kingship, that this is what I have to do, and I bring it toward me with love. That this is something that I'm embracing. This is something that I want to do. This is a relationship that I want to have. It is not by accident, and he notes, L'av d'chav emes in 46, Rav Dov Yofa, that we begin the morning with Adon Olam in our davening, and we go to sleep at night with Adon Olam before we go to sleep. To remind ourselves our whole day, Adon Olam, Hashem is the master. He's my master all day. He's my master all night. And what we've seen here, my friends, is you can look at this master on two levels. That I have no option. I have to listen to him. And every mitzvah I do is because he commanded me to do this. And he put me into slavery so that I should just, you know, be able to be regulated to do the will of God. And I can look at it on a much deeper level that he gave me opportunities to be able to really be free. He gave me opportunities to live in a world that is not restricted. That I should look at the world and the expanse that he gave me, as Pinkus said, not like a chicken in a coop, a person in a chicken coop, all cooped up. I can't do this, I can't do that. No! The world we live in is the most perfect environment to do what I really want to do. And what I really want to do is what Hashem wants me to do, because I know this is what's best for me. And I know this is what my relationship with Hashem is all about. When Klal Yisrael Nasa, Nasa V'Nishma, they're making a commitment to say to Hashem, thank you, Hashem, for choosing me. Asher Bachar Bani Mikol HaAmim. That my service to you is 24/7. That my relationship with you is 24/7. That I recognize that there's nothing greater than having this connection and this commitment with you. The kissing of the mezuzah. And thereby our actions and our relationship with Hashem should be built. Yes, as a servant of I have to. But within that framework of joy, of connection, of commitment, of feeling this closeness to Hashem, who has invested in me, who takes pride and pleasure in me, and who I want to do nothing but to give him pleasure, to bring Nachat Ruach to Hashem. And that close relationship is what we need to work on. I'd like to close with a small maisa that I just read in one of these Parsha magazines recently, a few weeks ago. The little boy named Lior, whose parents died in a car crash when he was a little child, his father's mother took him in, and the social workers were a little bit concerned because her husband had just died. This son was an only child. And this boy was a little boy. And could this grandmother went through two very, very traumatic things, taking this child. And she was insistent, albeit she was older, to take in this child. And she raised Lior. And she had her, you know, diabetes and her dialysis. And throughout, she's holding strong, taking care of him. And the only memory that Lior really had was on the piano in the living room were pictures of his parents, but it was such a vague memory. He tried playing that piano, and nothing really came out. It was like this dull sound. And he just, you know, was part of the furniture in the living room. Then one day, his grandmother was moved to an old age home, and she asked that the piano be brought as well. And Lior hired movers to move the piano, among her other stuff, and they lifted it up, and they said, "What's in here, rocks? This is the heaviest piano we've ever seen." So Lior opened up the top, and notes, hundreds, if not thousands of little pieces of paper came spilling out. And Lior never knew about this. Every time something happened, his grandmother would write a note to Hashem. "Thank you, Hashem. I thought my refrigerator was broken. It wasn't. Thank you, Hashem. Lior brought me whatever today. Thank you, Hashem." It was this personal relationship between her and Hashem. Every day she would put in a little note thanking Hashem for what he did today. Right? This piano, different type of notes. We can note that. And when he was getting to the bottom of the stack, he got a note way at the bottom. "Hashem, I know you took my only son, daughter-in-law, and my husband all in a very short time, but you gave me this beautiful grandchild. Thank you, Hashem, for that. I appreciate all that you do for me." Somebody who's able to connect to Hashem on this level. Yes, I don't have options in life, and Hashem controls my life, but I do have an option how to respond to it. That intrinsic relationship understands that I am connected intrinsically to Hashem. And if so, I am one who's going to give thanks to Hashem. I'm one who's going to connect to Hashem in all areas of life. And this Erev Shavuos is our challenge. Do we look at Torah and mitzvot as something that is forced upon me? Kaf aleim harkigigis, you have no option. Or I look at it, kaf aleim harkigigis, that Hashem is saying, I am giving you the opportunity to be mine, whether you understand or don't, what's in front of you or not. But our relationship is going to be one forever. And our challenge is to be able to see the beauty in the relationship, to see the joy in what it means to serve Hashem, and to be able every day to thank Hashem with real kavana, asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, that you've chosen us from all the nations, v'nasananu, and who gave us the Torah, because there is no greater freedom than the ability to serve Hashem.